Welcome back to Weekly Winners. Today is Monday, August 16th. It is our episode 9, and we got to start off by just mentioning that Field of Dreams game was awesome. Just couldn't have asked for better. All the fanfare around it, it just looked awesome, and the game itself was one of the best of the year. I don't know how it would have been received, like what if it was like a 2-0 game,
right?
But I think they picked the White Sox Yankees. I think that was a good matchup for it. Like they weren't going to play Twins Orioles at the Field of Dreams game,
right? So my immediate thought was, do you think they're going to try to do more games a year?
More games a year, or do you think, or like I saw like what should be the next like bonus field they do,
right? So my thing, they shouldn't do more games per year, because mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of like hockey fans talking about how hockey did that with like the Winter Classic.
That's established. People
and love it's the like Classic. But now there's like so many games that it's not cool anymore,
right? Yeah, you know, it's so, not an event,
right? You can't have like 20 games a year at the Field of Dreams and then it still be cool in 5-10 years.
That's true. But at the same time, you think it's a home run to do it every year. Like, you built the thing.
Right.
Like, it exists. Have right. a game there every year. And because it's a marketing home run, MLB probably will mess it up some way.
Yeah.
MLB.
I mean, highest rated game since 05. Regular season.
Right.
But yeah. I mean, ratings on it were nuts. I think if they stick to the whole one game a year thing, that they'll keep getting those crazy high ratings on it. I think if they go, you know, 10 games a year, I think that's too much. It's not too much of a good thing. Yeah, yeah. You know,
I get it. Like, you'd want to see your team do it. And if it's one a year or two a year, like, you know, you might have to wait 10 years to see your team play in the Field of Dreams game, but better that than oversaturating it.
Yeah. And like you said, I saw the whole, like, where should the next one be? Mm-hmm. I think the funniest one I saw was, the Grand Canyon, and if you hit it in the canyon, it's a home run.
Yeah.
So they just, you know, gonna have guys laying out into the canyon for balls.
Like, I saw like the Sandlot, just like an intentionally awful field.
Right. Which I think the Sandlot one would be cool.
I don't think there's enough defining, like, would you be able to just recognize the Sandlot field? Like, it's just like a,
I think you'd be able to recognize the wall.
Yeah.
The wall of washers and dryers and
yeah,
just random stuff. But obviously that would all just be painted onto a wall. But yeah, other than that, there's really not enough defining.
No, and if you change it year one, you're gonna run out so quickly.
Right.
So
I think they should run with Field of Dreams for a while. And
yeah,
if something else pops up, you know. Yeah.
Try it out.
Right.
Our only other really news story this week, it is, we're still kind of in that slow period, but Eric Bledsoe gets moved earlier from the Pelicans to the Grizzlies. We kind of said, what's this deal for the Grizzlies? Like, it's not really making them better. And they moved him again to the Clippers. And looking at it from the Clippers side, it's like, well, does Eric Bledsoe like make them better? Like, yeah, he is. I mean, when he was with the Bucks, he was first team all defense. Like, he is a very good defender, a lot of length from the point guard position, but he had a bad last year.
Right. I mean, in the Clippers, it's not like they didn't give up nothing.
That's the
for
thing.
Him
like,
either.
If it was like, do you want Eric Bledsoe? I don't think the answer should be no. It's, do you want to give up Pat Bev and Rondo for him? I don't know about that. Also, he's not on a minimum.
Right.
Like, he's making a decent amount of money, I think like 25 mil. So, yeah, kind of questionable. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if you go like straight out, who would you rather be giving minutes to, like Rondo or Eric Bledsoe?
Based on last year, Rondo. I mean, right. I think Bledsoe's better. He had such a bad last year that,
right, it's cool. You have to think about it more than you should have to for the package that they gave up for him.
Right.
And maybe it works out. The Clippers have traditionally been a very well GM'd team in the last few years. So it's unlike them to kind of make a blunder like this. So we'll have to wait and see. But
yeah,
questionable at this point in time, I'd say.
Right.
So we do have, this is our big, you've seen the title of the episode. This is our big prop-a-palooza. We have a prop for every NFL team in the league. We're going to go through them all. But first, I want to do a segment, probably a one-time segment, that's called Cody, can I have permission to talk about wrestling for 3 minutes?
Yes.
So I was never a long-time wrestling fan. I didn't grow up watching like Raw or SmackDown. I got into it in like college. So I've been watching for like 3 or 4 years maybe. Come and watch the WWE when like the Shield's at the height of their power. And a while ago, like over a year ago now, the same guy, Tony Khan, who owns the, or not Tony Khan, the guy who owns the Jaguars, that ownership group, they start a rival company called AEW All Elite Wrestling. And it's like, is this really gonna like take off? Like, no one's ever been able to compete with the WWE. It's only ever worked for a couple of years. And then, you know, they you know, just the massive payroll that WWE pumps out is you just can't compete with it. But then they kind of bring in all the guys, all of the best wrestlers who have never been in WWE. Your Young Bucks tag team, most namely your Kenny Omega, who for a long time has acclaimed like best wrestler. People love him, just never been in WWE. But then they also bring in like Chris Jericho, who's a massive WWE name. And I just want to take this time to say, coming up, it's WWE SummerSlam. It's Roman Reigns versus John Cena. John Cena's back. I have to watch that. I will watch that. After that, I think I'm done with the WWE and I'll be watching AEW full time.
Really?
The amount of cuts that WWE makes, they just don't listen to their fans. These guys that are fan favorites, they just let them go for nothing out of nowhere. There's like these Fridays where it's like a news dump. It's like, here's 15 names that we're releasing. I get it. They couldn't sell any shows in the pandemic. Like they, you know, weren't making money and these guys make money. I get it. But, and then AEW just comes up and like scoops these guys up. And it was like building and building. And it was like, oh, well, it stinks to see that guy go. Stinks to see that guy go. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, half of my favorite guys are on AEW now.
Right.
And I was such a big NXT guy, which was their kind of developmental brand, but it was pretty well agreed upon that that was the best show that WWE was putting on. And as of a couple of days ago, Triple H was running NXT while Vince McMahon was still at large in charge of Raw and SmackDown. Other people would get the title, but he had final say on stuff. And it very recently was announced that Vince wants control of NXT now, and he owns the company. He's going to get it. So Triple H is out. NXT is going to be ruined. He just came out is like, and I'm not trying to be super negative here because wrestling fans are some of the most, no one hates their own product quite as much as wrestling fans and Star Wars fans. Like, I try to be a positive wrestling fan, but this is just really tough. Vince McMahon, it worked in, you know, Attitude Era. Like, he gave it all, but his whole thing is like, well, I want our NXT stars to be able to main event a WrestleMania, and that means they have to be 6'6 and 250 pounds, because otherwise it's not believable that they could be champion. And when some of the best wrestlers in the world these days are smaller guys. So, yeah, there's just been so many names. Quite literally, my favorite guy in NXT for a long time, his name's Aleister Black, was just super cool, super dark, and crazy timing, one of the best finishers. He was NXT champion. They take him up to SmackDown. He doesn't lose a match for like several months. And then they quite literally stick him in a room. And every show, he would come on for 30 seconds in a full black suit, sitting in a dark room on a chair, and go, someone come knock on my door so I can fight them. No one wants to knock on my door. Everyone's scared of me. And it took 6 weeks for anyone to do it. He just never fought anybody. And now they released him, and now he's on AEW. So that's my wrestling talk. Don't want to go too far into it. But, yeah, it's just – it is sports adjacent at the very least. And I wanted to mention it here on the platform I do have. But going from something that has made me kind of sad recently to – the opposite end of the spectrum are baseball bets. I've continued my hot streak. Approximately a week ago, I was telling you how I was down 9 units on the season. And I was, you know, fade my picks. I was all-time low. And now I've crawled all the way back. I'm up about 2.5 units on the year. Just on an unbelievable hot streak right now.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here losing half a unit here.
Yeah, you're never having like 0-4 days or anything.
Right, but it's just a consistent, like, probably half unit average. Yep. Just, I gotta crawl out soon, I'd hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so our picks today, we are recording Wednesday morning, so if you, or Monday morning. So if you are hearing this the day it releases and it's before the games, you know, start off, these are our picks for today, so feel free to bet along with us. I have for today the Rays -3 against the Orioles. That's +150. The Rays are viable to beat anyone by like 13 runs out of nowhere, so I'm pretty comfortable taking that. I got Braves and at Marlins over 8.5. That's -105. I got the White Sox -1 versus the A's +148. That line was pretty much a pick 'em. White Sox being the home team and I think playing really well right now. I'm just comfortable bumping that up to -1. If they win by one, you know, I'll live with that, but just kind of take the home team there and get it up to +148. And then I got Padres -1.5 at the Rockies. That's +104. Tatis is back. He's in the outfield. Everyone knows how you solve one of the worst fielders in the league. Is you put him at a secondary position. That'll fix everything.
Hey, every game this year he's played in right field, he's hit 2 home runs in that game. So
we will see. I'm hoping he does. In Coors too, maybe he'll hit 3.
Right. So I was actually going to go with the White Sox. Mm-hmm. I was going to take them at -2, but every time I bet on the White Sox, they lose by like 6-7 runs.
Fair enough.
Therefore, I'm taking the A's -2.5 at the Red, or at the White Sox at +185. I'm going Braves -2.5 at the Marlins. And then, oh no, I deleted one. And then I'm also taking, I'm taking the Rockies at -1.5 for +200.
Yeah, and these also really easily are laid out on our Twitter at Weekly Winners WI. We post our tweet, our picks pretty much every day. The results on there, you can follow on who's doing good, who's doing bad. Yeah, everything is there. Pretty much tweet out anything there. We'll roll into our props now. Every single one of those will be on the show as well. But yeah, so it's everyone's favorite day of the year. It's Prop-a-Palooza. We got 32 player props for the upcoming NFL season. Some extremely interesting, some wildly boring. But yeah, we're gonna get into every single one of them. So yeah, we're gonna start out with the NFC North here, and I thought it was only right. The man we've been talking about, Aaron Rodgers, over under 4,600.5 yards. Your MVP from last year. Played all 16 last year through 42.99. So 300 more yards in one more game. What do you think?
My gut tells me he'll do it, but I'm actually taking the under on this. Because he would need to have another MVP caliber season, yep, hypothetically, to hit those stats, to hit that 4,600 and a half. And I mean, yeah, you know, he's still got his weapons there. Right. Still got, you know, Devontae. He's got his younger guys like Lazard, MVS, Tanyan, but Cobb. He's got Cobb back, pretty irrelevant in my we'll eyes. See. But yeah, I mean, if they don't bring back Aaron Jones, I think that's an over.
Yeah.
But I do think Aaron Jones is enough of an impact player that, and I think they'll be up in a lot of games this year where he won't necessarily have to throw the ball.
Yep. I like the under here as well. Like, I don't really understand though. Yeah, there's one more game, but MVP level, another year on him, 300 more yards. That's, you know, Packers are, you know, the NFC North is in a, they're very far ahead for to win the division. Is game 17 going to be one even place?
Right.
Like, that's always, you know, end of the year, like, one game absolutely makes all the difference in these, to hit these numbers. And like, so the really good teams, you always got to consider, is that last week going to be a full game, or are they not even going to play in that?
That, and I mean, played all last season, and kind of seems like every other year he's good for missing one or two, you know.
Yeah.
He's had calf injuries, he's had concussions. For like, sure. It seems like he's always good every couple of years for missing a game or two. So
yeah, and that's, we can mention an injury with every single one of these props. So yeah, we're gonna assume relative health, unless the guy kind of has a history
right
of injury. Because otherwise it's no fun. You can pick the under for each one, think, oh, I think he misses two games.
Right.
So we're rolling the Bears here. This is a theme that's gonna be pretty consistent throughout. A lot of the most interesting player props are ones that there's just not going to be lines available for.
Right.
We're talking about Allen Robinson here. Obviously, we'd much rather be saying, hey, what's Justin Fields going to do? But Allen Robinson, extremely good wide receiver. 1,075 and a half is his line for yards. He did 1,250 last year. So they're saying there's a drop off with the new quarterback. Obviously, you never really know how that's going to affect someone.
Yeah.
But with an extra game, he did play all 16 last year. That's a significant drop off.
Yeah. I'm running the over on this. Mainly because, I mean, I don't like judging player play off of preseason. Like, right. You know, everyone right now is saying, oh, Justin Fields is going to be so good, so good. I think I'm taking the over because I think he's the only receiver on that roster that Fields would be comfortable throwing into and, you know, double mm-hmm. coverage or, right. you know, like, I think he's going to be Fields' guy.
Right. He could just lean on him way too much. You see that a lot. It's usually with a tight end, but the Bears don't really have that.
Right. I mean,
guy, and Allen Robinson is a big body wide receiver that, he's a safe target.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to get the first year quarterback. So I like the over there as well. I don't see the rationale for thinking he'll get 175 less yards in an extra game.
Right.
So yeah, the Vikings, we're going with Dalvin Cook there. About 1,550 yards last year for rushing. 1,375 is the line for this year. With the extra game. And again, I don't understand the drop-off. Dalvin Cook started 14 games last year. So he's essentially getting three more, and they want to take off like 200 yards from his total. I get it. 1,500, 1,600 is a lot of yards to repeat, but if anyone's going to do it, he's going to have the opportunities.
Yeah.
It's not like they're going to take him down to doing like five or six less carries a game.
Right, because the reality is that they still have a quarterback in Minnesota named Kirk Cousins.
Very true.
You know, he's not that guy. He is a solid quarterback play week in, week out. Very, I mean, I'd say slightly above average quarterback play.
That's what they pay him to be.
Right. And so I think as long as you know, they don't have that all-star quarterback. Dalvin Cook should be expected 1,500 yards every year. I'd like to think with the extra game.
Mm-hmm. I don't see why not.
Yeah.
Last team in that division, the Lions. Who else but Jared Goff would we talk about here? We're going touchdowns for Jared through 20 last year, Lions 20 and a half this year. So they're projecting very similar moving from the Rams to the Lions. It's the tied for the lowest line for starting quarterbacks for touchdowns.
Yeah, so that was in only 15 games. So he essentially gets two extra, but I'm taking the under because I think that wide receiving core is more than two touchdowns a year worse than what the Rams had.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're going to lean heavily. I mean, they're probably going to win four or five games. I think they're going to lean heavily on guys like DeAndre Swift this year. And yeah, I'm running with the under on that. Don't really like it.
Yeah, 20 half so low. I'm going to kind of believe everyone's so low on them that I'm going to take the over on this one. Just because 17 games, 21 touchdowns. Like, he can have a completely unremarkable season and throw one touchdown every game and has to find four games to throw two. And that's not a good season, but
right,
it gets the over. So right. I think he can do it.
That's fair.
Especially DeAndre Swift is good, but he's not a pound in the middle type back. He'll catch some.
He'll catch some screen passes.
He'll catch a couple TDs from Goff. He'll get them near the red zone. I think he'll do it. They do have Hockenson, who is a great young tight end, big red zone target. So I do like the over there. It's not asking a whole lot from Goff, who has probably the lowest expectations of his career in Detroit. So going to the NFC East, we're going Dak Prescott with the Cowboys. Who else? 47, 75 and a half passing yards. He played five games last year before the terrible injury. He did 1,850 yards over those five games. Projecting that number out 17 games would give him 6,300 yards this season.
This is so tough. I mean, I touched on it when I was doing my quarterback rankings, and that 47-75 is going to be determined in the first two or three weeks of the season. Like, and it depends how timid the Cowboys are with him. I think if they just say, you know, this team's yours, doctors cleared you, we're going to call games like we would if you never had that injury, I think he hits it. If they're timid, I think he doesn't. So I'm actually going to go with the over here. I think they're going to let him play and do what he can do.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go against my usual line of thinking here. To quote the great Dave Demeshek, August football is a lie for your eyes. Never trust anything you see in August. You already know what these guys are. You know what these teams are. Anything you see in preseason games should not change what you think. And that goes double for watching Hard Knocks, which this pick is 100% based on. Dak waits months and months. You see him on the show. He's dying to get back out there. He gets out there for practice one. They limit him. He's frustrated with how limited he is. Practice two, shoulder strain. He's got to go get another MRI. A separate injury, and it didn't come back. It shouldn't be anything. He should be fine, but that's such a lofty number for a guy. And they say it on the show, which, again, shouldn't really be influencing me this much, but he's young enough. Like, the athleticism will be there, but can he trust his body to have the athleticism when he needs it? Or is he going to play? It's always the wild card when these injuries happen.
Right.
So, that's just too lofty of a number for a guy who, I mean, it would be a great season to do that in 17 games. There's a world where he plays 17 and doesn't get that many. Be a little bit of a disappointment, but I'm thinking of banking on either him not playing 17 or him having a couple of mediocre performances in there. Yeah, so I'm going over on Dak there, or under. I'm going under on Dak. Cody's going over. Giants, we're going Saquon Barkley, 1150 for his rush yards. Two games last year, 34 yards. Obviously not too much of an indicator. It's all what you think about his ability to bounce back.
I threw Prescott's injury out of my logic because it was kind of his first like big one. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Saquon has been hurt in college. I mean, hurt in the NFL. Always seems hurt. I want to give him the over so bad. I just don't think he can play a full season in the NFL.
Is there a world where he plays 17 games and doesn't hit this number?
No.
I don't think so either. Give him too many
hours. But I just don't think there's a world in which he plays 17 games.
Yeah. It's the same reason I'm taking the under. Just, this one's, like you said, we don't want to only talk injuries, but if there's anyone you're going to talk injuries with, it's Dak and Saquon. So.
Right.
Third team in that division, we're going Washington football team. And you know, there's a couple people you could talk about here, but I like looking at Fitzmagic and his touchdowns. Through 13 last year in seven games. This one doesn't really work so much because he did come in as a backup in a few more games. But they see him getting 23.5 touchdown passes, which is a little under what you'd expect if he can kind of hold up the level he was playing at last year. But
right,
he's the most hot and cold quarterback of all time.
That's why this one's tough for me, because he's not playing a full season. I'd bet my house on that.
Think so?
I think you'll see some Fitzmagic 5-6 games, and then he will be the worst quarterback in the NFL, and they're gonna run with that XFL guy. Whoever Taylor balled out in the Taylor playoffs. Heineke. Yeah.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, when he's got that Fitzmagic rolling, he might throw four touchdowns those games.
My exact reason for taking the over.
Right.
There will be three games where he throws four touchdowns. That's 12. That's half of his number already. And then, I mean, if he only plays six, that's going to be tough. But I think he'd get half that number in three or four games. And I think he can then be pedestrian the rest of the way and still make his way to 23.5.
Right. I think he barely hits the over. And I think he plays 11 games. That's my, that's my analysis. I think he's going to get cold. They're going to run with Heineke for four or five games. He's not going to be that great, and they're going to go back to Fitzmagic.
So going under 23.5?
I'm taking the over. I think he'll play enough games to hit the over.
If he hits 24 in 11 games, are they really going to bench him? Throwing more than two touchdowns a game?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it where he throws like...
he might throw four interceptions.
Because he'll throw like four touchdowns, four touchdowns, four touchdowns, and then he'll throw... 1-1-1 with like three interceptions in each of those games.
Yeah,
and
then I guess benched. If it's a bad stretch,
he
would just take an extended, decent stretch at the start of the season,
which he's done before. Yeah, I mean,
a lot of possibilities could go, a lot of ways. I don't think anyone really looked too hard if it was like, Ryan Fitzpatrick threw 34 touchdowns this season.
No,
it would be like, it's above expectations, but if he played them all, like. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Right.
Last team in the NFC East, the Eagles, mentioned Jared Goff being tied for the lowest touchdown expectations. Jalen Hurts is that other quarterback, 20.5 touchdowns. Four games last year, six touchdowns. When did he become bad?
I don't know.
He was exciting at the end of last season. And it was like, the Eagles might have something here. And all of a sudden the offseason came and it was only negativity. It was like, are the Eagles going to draft a quarterback? Or are they going to move up? There's no world where if I'm an Eagles fan and this guy turns in the four games that he did last year and you don't give him a chance, see what you have. Cause it's not nothing.
Right. And I mean, when you talk about him being good at the end of the season, he was really good. Yeah. I mean, the players were mad when they brought Carson Wentz back into that, that the last game of the season.
Yeah.
They were mad.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why Carson Wentz is like, all right, I'm out of here then. Yeah. Like, I mean, Jalen Hurts, he was kind of balling out.
Yeah. And 20 and a half. I like the over.
Same.
They'll be in, they're not a good team. They'll be getting blown out and they'll have to pass. The opportunity is going to be there for him.
Right.
Yeah. Don't know who's catching those, but someone will find them. But yeah, going on next, there's defending Super Bowl champs, the Buccaneers. Can look at Tom Brady yards here. 4,725. Did 633 last year. Getting an extra game. Seems very on the nose. They nailed this line.
Yeah. Again, going back to my quarterback rankings, pointed out he's kind of got to slow down eventually. I'm taking the under just because of how, I mean, that team started so bad last year, but you could blame that on the fact that he didn't have a true offseason mm-hmm. with the Buccaneers. I just don't think he's what, like 44 now?
Yeah.
I don't see it. I think, you know, he's still over 4,000. He's still Tom Brady, but mm-hmm. I don't think he's nearing 5,000.
Right. The line is very close to that of Dak Prescott, and he just isn't asked to do as much.
Right.
By his design. Like, I like the under as well. I just don't think he needs to throw that many yards.
Yeah.
So, second team in that division, the Saints. There's a million players we would love to talk about for the Saints. Namely, I'd love to look at two lines for interceptions and touchdowns for Jameis to see what they're at. I'd love to see what do they think for Taysom. Michael Thomas, trade talks kind of. Do they think he comes back a little bit? Not a single of those lines available, of course. So here we are talking about Alvin Kamara rush yards. Couldn't even find an all-purpose yard line for him. 950 and a half to 932 last year.
In 10 games.
Yeah.
Pretty easy over for me. It's
like a very easy over. Yeah. Maybe there's something I'm missing here, but.
Do they think Jameis is going to throw the ball that much more?
Did they think they were leaning on the run way more with Breeze than they will this right. year?
I don't know.
Is Taysom Hill going to get carries?
I don't know. I like the over here. Seems easy to me.
Yeah,
it's what I'm going to run with.
He can run for 65 yards a game and hit this number.
Right.
Like it's not that lofty. Yeah, so then getting into the Falcons, we went Matt Ryan pass yards, 4,450, did 4,580 last year in the full 16 games. Lost Julio, obviously.
Got Pitts. I'm running under. I just, without Julio, I don't know how electric that offense will be anymore. I mean, don't get me wrong, they were a terrible team,
mm-hmm.
but that offense, you see the Falcons put up 40 a game, you know, 41 game, it's like, oh, that's not surprising.
Right. I actually like the over here. I should have put it on here, but I think that Matt Ryan is a sneaky good bet for passing yards leader this year. Looks like the odds are plus 1,300 for that. It's what he does. He won an MVP based on it. He right. just puts up yards, and you lose your best receiver, but they're projecting you down a few yards, and you get an extra game. Matt Ryan's going to play 17, you know, knock on wood. He's not really an injury-prone guy. I just think he puts up those numbers. They're going to be a pass-first team. And like you said before, there's going to be games where they're behind and they're in shootouts.
Right.
And I think he gets to that 44-50 number. This is an interesting one with the Panthers. Sam Darnold, new team. They're clearly behind him.
Yeah.
In Carolina. Did 22-08 last year in 12 games. I thought he'd played more than that. Like, you know, there's like, you know, he's always had weird stuff going on, and obviously they're trying to lose games. So, you know, they would they'd hold him up for anything, but yeah, I don't remember him not playing that many. But they expect him to get 3950, just about 4,000 yards this year.
So I love Sam Darnold. Mm. I think he got hit with the plague that many early first-round quarterbacks get plagued with. You go to a really bad organization. Mm-hmm. They have a high draft pick for a reason. Could have been just a bad team that year, or the organization's bad. I think it's more organizational in that Jets front office. And big Sam Darnold guy, I just don't think this year's the year. I think next year you give me a total like that, I'm hammering the over. Mm-hmm. I just think because Carolina doesn't have like you know, a wide receiving core of mm-hmm. just elite wideouts. I think between having to learn the new offense and the fact that there's not a ton of great wideouts in Carolina, I'm taking the under on this. Next year, though, I'm taking the over.
4,000-ish yards is lofty, but I'm going over on it. He's not going to be the focus of the defense. Every defensive coordinator is prepping for CMC. And I think he can just pick up some cheap yards, play action, or even throwing it to CMC. I think he can get there if he plays all the games. So, yeah, I like the over for Darnold. Let's go into the Rams and who else, you know, the quarterback swap everyone talked about. I cannot talk about Stafford here. Just over 4,000 yards in the full 16 last year. We got him going all the way up to 4,600 this year. With the new receiving core.
I mean, you get the extra game, but my gut says he hits it. I'm taking the over. Mm-hmm. I mean, just a more complete team he's on. I think this will be his first time really just being in a great system, and I think it'll be good for him. I think he'll hit the over. Wouldn't be surprised if he pushes 5,000 in 17 games. I mean, year after year, kind of like a Matt Ryan, just put up yards in Detroit with absolutely nothing besides Megatron.
Right. This is what my gut was going to be under on this one the whole way. But Cam Akers' injury gives me a little pause just because Lions – you know, they haven't really, you know, hopefully they found it now, but since Barry, they just never have had a rushing attack.
Right.
And I thought he'd kind of have it for the first time. But is Darrell Henderson that guy? I think I still go under. I think they're the good defense. Like, I just don't think he'll need to do too much.
Yeah.
I kind of like his touchdown passes. I think that'll probably go up, but I just don't think he'll need to get 4,000 yards, 46, you know. I mean, he will get 4,000. I think, you know, it's a respectable season. I think he, you know, finishes 4,400 yards. So 49ers, another team with, you know, some interesting ones, but until there's an official, like, starting quarterback, there's not going to be lines out there. So we go George Kittle. You know, the injury last year, did 634 yards in half the season, 8 games. They got him just over 1,000 with 1,025.5 for receiving this year.
This one seems like a pretty easy over for me. Kind of really his first, like, big injury where he had to miss mm-hmm. a considerable amount of time. Not too concerned about it. Kind of going back to the Bears, how you were saying, like, lots of those, if they happen to run with Lance,
right.
A lot of those young guys like to lean on that tight end. The Bears don't have it, which is why I gave Robinson the over. The Niners do have that tight end. So if they run with Lance, you know, I think Kittle's going to be that guy, that kind of that safety net for Lance. And if they run with Jimmy G, I mean, Kittle's done that with Jimmy G before. Right.
Super easy over for me as well. It's, do you believe he can play most of the season? And I do. I don't see him playing every game and getting under 1,000 yards. Cardinals, we go with DeAndre Hopkins, 1,400 yards last year. They got him at like 1,300 and a half this year. So extra game, 100 plus yards. Obviously, they bring in AJ Green. How much of a target is he going to take away?
I'd be shocked if he took away more than like one target a game. Mm-hmm. I just think I'm taking the under here because the Cardinals kind of got two guys this year that'll have something to prove, being Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk. So I think they're kind of, I think they're going to step up a little more, which that will maybe take, you know, two or three targets away a game between all three of those guys from D-Hop. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's enough. I think that 1,300 is just about right. I think it'll be very close to that, but I'm leaning towards the under, and that's what I'll go with.
He's the best receiver in the league still. I'm going over. Just, he proved he can be the number one. He's proved it several times, I think. Although it's a tough division, especially with defenses, it's just not that high of a number for a guy that good. So I'm going over there.
That's fair.
Russell Wilson of the Seahawks, pass yards, 4,200 last year. Why is it 4,300? Extra game, extra 100 yards. What do you think? Feels about right.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, I haven't heard anything about his contract stuff for a while. Mm-hmm. I mean, but Russ ain't the guy that's going to hold out, though.
I don't think so.
So, I mean, can't really consider the contract stuff. The only thing, like, do I think, like, Metcalf is going to take another big step this year? Because I think that's really the determining factor. Because Tyler Lockett, he's kind of reached his ceiling, and he's still there.
He's very good.
Still a very good, but I don't think there's any more, like, step-ups he can take. Whereas I think it'll really depend on if I think Metcalf will take another big step up like he did last year. And I guess I think he will. I guess I'm taking the over.
I would never bet against DK Metcalf, but I think he can take a step forward, and this number can still go under. I think he can get more yards, but I think they're coming from other people.
Okay.
So I'm going to go under 4,300 for Russ there. I just think the whole team is not as good as it was.
Right. And part of the reason I like the over too is just, you know, Chris Carson isn't really your guy who's going to get, you know, 100-120 yards every single week.
True. So now getting to the AFC and your guy, Baker. I went touchdowns on this one. 26 last year in the 16 games. They got him ticking up to 29.5.
I don't see it.
Yeah. I'm going to under on the principle.
Yeah, I mean, makes sense with you as a Steelers fan. Taking the under on that. My thing is they still have, I mean, I know Kareem Hunt is more of a receiving back, but you still have two running backs that would be starters on any team in the league.
It's a run first team in a league that doesn't really have them. Like,
right. And yeah, I mean, it's not an easy under. I do think it'll be close. I definitely think it could be around that 25, 26, 27 again, like it was last year, but I don't think in that extra game, I don't think he throws for four more touchdowns.
Right. It's an elite receiving core in 2017, but
right,
it is not 2017. So I think, you know, they're serviceable and they're strong at every position. It's the Browns thing this year.
Yeah.
So Ravens, we're going Lamar, but we're going rush yards on Lamar. He was top 10 in rushing last year from the quarterback position. Just crazy. Just over 1,000 yards rushing last year. They're saying 950 this year.
To me, that sounds pretty close because he only played in 15. So he gets two extra games this year than he did last year. But I think, and maybe that's just like me trying to manage the Ravens.
Right.
If I'm the head coach, I don't want Lamar rushing. You know, I don't want him being like a run first mentality. You know, you want to slowly dial it back. I mean, I watched that in Green Bay with Rodgers. I mean, you know, you look at 2010, 2011, 2012, Rodgers, there's a lot of plays. He was like run first.
Right.
But you kind of realize then that the durability of the quarterback goes down when they're taking those hits. And Lamar, he started sliding a little more, but he still, if he thinks, you know, he can juke and jive, like he'll still go for it. And I just think at some point the Ravens are going to want to tone down his running a little bit. And I think this year, I think it'll be that year.
Yeah, I don't think you can ever go to him and say, hey, Lamar, like maybe let's like tone it back. Like don't – I don't think you can try to change his way of play because I think that's, you know, that's his strong, that's his strength.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can start calling less designed runs for him. And I think that's what's – they're going to do, and that's why it goes under. I think you have to still let him be him.
Right.
If it's a broken player, if he sees a hole, because you know, that's what won him an MVP. But yeah. I just don't think you need to be running as much read option if you're going to pay this guy a long-term big deal. So first rookie on the docket, we got Najee Harris on the Steelers. Again, I'm going to do my best to be unbiased. 975 yards. I just think the offensive line is the question here. It's not Najee Harris's talent that's in question. I just think he's going to have enough opportunity to do it.
I think so, too. I mean, Big Ben's getting older. Mm-hmm.
He's going to get like 20 carries a game, which is so rare for a lot of running backs. And so, like, you don't need to be that electrifying. You don't have to have a spectacular season to get to 1,000 yards if you're getting 20 carries a game.
Yeah, I think he'll hit the over on that. Don't think he'll be in like the realm of Dalvin Cook where you're talking 1,500, but I mean, 975 and a half seems very attainable in that offense.
Coming back from injury, Joe Burrow was great in the 10 games he played. 2,700 yards in those 10 games. You know, 270 game as a rookie is Justin Herbert numbers.
Right.
So they got him at 4,200 yards this year. I'm kind of on par with, like, Russell Wilson expectations.
Yeah, and I think – I mean, I guess to me this almost seems like an easy over. Because even, you know – Joe Mixon, he's a dual running back. It's not like he's a Derrick Henry who's never going to catch. I mean, they're running back that records like 80% of their snaps, catches 5-6 balls a game. Some, you know, like,
well, 80% of the snaps in the 10 games he plays.
Right.
But
I mean, and that's fair. But I mean,
well, I mean, yeah. But him being out would just have Burrow throw more.
Right. To me, this seems like an easy over. I mean, got another wide receiver in the draft for Burrow to work with.
Right. Team's better. He was on pace to blow past that if he played all of them last year. He gets another year. Did see a picture of him that troubled me this week. A close shave. He looks old. He looks like 35. But I think he is old. I like the over for him as well. The receiving leader last year, Stephon Diggs for the Bills, 1,535 yards last year in just the 15 games. Did have that last one off. Or no, it was in the middle of the season that he missed one. He tweaked it. I forget. But 1,350 is your line for him this year. So they're projecting a little bit of a fall off. Maybe, you know, defenses key on him a little more, but it's not like he's, you know, a new breakout star. He was this good with the Vikings. Like, it's not like the film's out on Stephon Diggs now. Like,
right.
They're going to if they're going to stop them, like they're going to do it last year. So,
yeah, easy over for me.
Yeah, I think he may not lead the league again, but, you know, he can get 200 less yards in two more games and still hit this number. So I'm going over as well. This one is one of the more interesting ones in my eyes. Tua Tagovailoa touchdowns. That was big story last year. 9 starts, 11 touchdowns. Got him up to 24 and a half this year. Going to have to do better than a touchdown a game to hit that number.
Yeah, and I'm actually taking the under on this. I don't like the Dolphins receiving core. I wouldn't really want anyone on that team, maybe Devontae Parker. I'm taking the under.
Give me the over. I'm just a Tua believer, I think. I think you give him a full season. I think he hits a stride. It's kind of a, although they're pretty different players, funny that's the Dolphins, but it's kind of the Fitzpatrick thing. Like, if Tua is that guy, and I kind of think he is, he's going to have several 3 and 4 touchdown games.
Right.
And you string a couple of those together and you're halfway to this number. And now here's the one, 3 seconds apiece. Damian Harris, 825. It's the only line available for the Patriots.
Taking the over. I mean, if you have a rookie QB, they're going to be giving them the rock. If you have Cam Newton, and Cam Newton's not, we saw last year, he's not consistent, going to be giving them the rock.
You don't sign two very capable blocking tight ends to not be a run first team. This right. Seems to be boring. But Damian Harris will get enough carries to get over 825 yards. Jets, Zach Wilson, 3,775 yards.
I'm running the under. I just think that whatever is going on in that organization, I don't like it. I feel terrible for Zach Wilson for getting drafted there. You know, you have my sympathy.
My sentiment. Exactly. I am taking that under for every single quarterback drafted that year if it was in green and white.
Right.
I think it's a system thing. It's a team. It's just
that. Right. Trevor Lawrence could go there and have the same line. I'm saying under. It's just a terrible, terrible system. They need to clean house. They need to do something.
I mean, and because they brought in people. That defense is going to be better than it was last year.
Oh, their defense is actually, I mean, they got some young talent. Yeah. It's just.
It's the Jets plus he's not Trevor Lawrence. He's
right.
Not the perennial, like, golden child. Titans, Derrick Henry, over 2,000 yards last year, down to 15-25.
I don't think Julio takes that many.
500 yards. Give me the over here.
Like, I think Julio takes yards from the other wide receivers. I don't think they give the ball to Henry any less than they have been.
And they can. They're taking them around 25% here.
Right. Yeah. I don't. I mean, I understand how the sports book can't put a line at like 1900.
Right.
Yeah, like, I understand it. But I just feel like. Easy over Derrick Henry, 1,526 yards.
It's a high line, but
yeah,
it's the opportunity thing, and he's proven he can do it. And I'm not scared if I'm still – this bet is very much still alive if he goes in to week 15 at 1,000 yards.
Oh, yeah.
That's just what he does.
Right.
We're going touchdowns next, to running back touchdowns for Jonathan Taylor and the Colts. 11 last year and 15 yards. I see a lot of that coming in the last couple games. Lines at 10.5. It feels like an over for me as well. It's another opportunity thing for a running back.
Yeah, I'm going over as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't – the only thing that will give you pause is if there's a candidate for red zone carries over him. I don't really think there is.
Right, because – and – I mean, I just think all the issues at quarterback play right now too just amplify the value of 10.5.
What's your better option within 10 yards? Throw up to Mo'Ali Cox?
Right.
I mean, it's not like they have that dominant tight end that's your red zone target.
Yeah. I mean, because even if Wentz plays a full season, I don't think we'll ever see MVP Wentz again where it's like we got to worry about them, you know, given Wentz the ball and, hey, you're making the calls. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think we have to worry about that happening.
Right. And the aforementioned golden boy, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, just over 4,000 yards, 40-25.
I want to say, you know, he has a Burrow before the injury or like a Herbert type season. Mm-hmm. But Jacksonville's kind of, I mean, their system is nowhere near as bad as the Jets, but they're kind of another one of those organizations where, like, don't get me wrong, they were in the AFC Championship, what, 3 years ago?
I think it was more than that, but yeah, but in recent history.
But I mean, outside of that one outlier year, I mean.
And that was an all-time defense on that.
Right. And that's what carried them there. But I mean, you have a first-round draft pick at running back. You have James Robinson, who had a phenomenal season last year.
Yeah, we talked about this. Just a questionable.
I wouldn't be surprised if both of those running backs get 15 carries a game. They split carries and.
Could be.
I mean, as a way of trying to groom Trevor Lawrence, because he's not going to be able to sit behind anyone and learn. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, to me, I'm going under. Wouldn't be shocked if the over hits here. I don't think anyone would be, mm-hmm. but I just think looking at the reality of it, I think this is an under.
I've already penciled in 1,200 receiving yards for Tebow, so this is an easy over for me. then another team that we struggle to find anyone interesting to talk about, Texans. Zach Cunningham, one defensive player here, 164 tackles this year, runs at 150.5.
Over. Defense is going to be on the field 90% of the game.
Yeah.
I'm taking the over.
The over as well. Yeah. Mahomes, 5,025.5 throwing yards.
So I'm not surprised if he still plays 15 this year. I mean, I know their division is – I mean, it's a fairly competitive division between the bottom three, but the Chiefs are just still so much better than that next team. I'm not surprised if they're able to sit back week 15 and be like, we locked up the one.
Right.
Mahomes is sitting.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are a little too good for that. I think they'll keep it close enough. And I'm going over on this because I think it's his MVP again this year. And obviously, it's not impossible if he, you know, is the one seed. He can win MVP by throwing 4,500 yards.
Right.
But you know, I think he's just, you know, it's been a couple, like he won the MVP and then he did the Super Bowl, but like this is not a guy who, you know, ends with one MVP. I think he's gonna win a couple more, and I think this year's one of them. So I'm going over on that one.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Chargers, Herbert, not that far behind, relatively speaking. 4,400 yards after throwing the unprecedented 4,300 as a rookie.
To me, easy over. I mean, Chargers, they were kind of one of those injury teams last year, injury bug. I mean, and Herbert still found a way to throw for 43-36. I mean, and he played in 15 games. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I'm liking the over here.
I like Justin Herbert a lot. This is not a personal pick. This is everybody believes in Justin Herbert. 70% of the money on the over going under here. Kind of a safety, pump the brakes a little bit. He can still be a very good quarterback without throwing 4,500 yards in his second
season. Right.
Raiders, Derek Carr, 25.5 touchdowns, 27 last year. Extra year of Ruggs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's an over. Another one of those, it really depends on how many drives they're inside the 10, because if they're inside the 10 they're going to Jacobs. I mean, I think over.
I like the over here too. 30 touchdowns for Derek Carr is surprisingly attainable.
Yeah.
Finally rounding out Broncos, Jerry Jeudy, we're going with 925 yards, 856 last year. Will he break 1,000 in his second season?
So I wish I had quarterback lines, but they don't. I think Teddy and Drew Lock. Like, I don't think last year it was Drew Lock that held Jeudy from getting 1,000. I think it was Jeudy being young.
He was a nothing for the first five or six games. He just was, was being a rookie out there.
Right. So I think it was Jerry Jeudy holding himself back and not the quarterback play. I think either quarterback, it's good enough for that 1,000 yard to be attainable. So I'm running the over here.
I'm taking the over as well. I still think Jerry Jeudy is the best wide receiver in that draft class.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's all 32 teams. Do you guys agree? Do you disagree? Every one of these will be out on Twitter, so come yell at us there. But yeah, that's our show. Thanks for listening, and we will see you guys on Thursday.